here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and Paul Dottino with you this afternoon as we just spent some time with a number of the players and the coaches who made themselves available to the media today, and a lot to get to, obviously, along with your calls and your tweets. 201-939-4513 is the phone number if you want to get in. That's how you do it. Also, hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Giants chat. Make sure you include that. That way we can monitor, of course, Twitter and share your questions and your comments. So Paul, really quick, we do need to let folks know that practice is not open to the public today. There is a One Direction concert that's taking place at the stadium. So practice is closed today. Do not come to the Giants facility. You will not be able to watch practice. Now, practice opens up again tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. So just heads up. Also, quick note, Giants training camp live every weeknight on MSG at 6 p.m. So whatever you may have missed today by not coming out to practice, make sure you tune in to MSG or DVR MSG at 6 p.m. for that Giants training camp live program. So, Paul, yesterday the guys had off. Today they're back in action again. Unfortunately, I guess one of the negative news today that we just found out from talking to the players and Eric Flowers being one of them is that he's not going to practice yet again today. He's dealing with this hip flexor.
Yes, and he's day-to-day, doesn't seem to be too concerned about it, says he's never had a hip injury before. He's continuing his book work, and again, day-to-day is exactly what he said in terms of the injury. Heard it a couple of days ago and said he was doing leg lifts and knee lifts to try to see if he could work it out. Did actually practice with it for one day, and then yesterday morning it was the day before, when the last practice was, they decided, you know what, let's just shut it down. That's enough, and let's get you healthy. So yesterday was an off day for the players. They're at full padded practice today, the first one of the training camp. Again, as Anita said, it's closed to the public. But they will have another full padded practice tomorrow. And as we've told you many times on this show before, the full padded practices are the best ones because that's when everybody's in full gear. There's the most hitting going on. You'll see the most true-to-life practice sessions when they do those. And so I would really advise you, if you have the opportunity to take off tomorrow and head out to the facility, that'd be a really good one to come to. And by the way, this is like a July 4th show, huh? Red, white, and blue. Pretty good.
Yeah, I guess so.
I was just thinking about that.
I think one of the negatives in regard to Flowers not being able to practice, Paul, is, you know, it's not like we're talking about a veteran here. We're talking about a rookie. He is going to be expected to play that left tackle position, protect Eli Manning's blindside. Yeah. He needs as many reps. He needs as much practice as possible. So, not that the injury is serious. It's not. That's what's being communicated to us. It's a hip flexor. It's something he hasn't had before. But I'm sure the coaching staff, and we know Tom Coughlin, I'm sure he's somewhat disappointed that this rookie isn't out there getting those reps.
Without question, every rep is valuable to him. I don't think anybody would disagree with that,
right,
Anita. I think the one thing that you want to keep an eye on with him, though, is how long does this go? When they're saying day-to-day, well, that means you get up tomorrow morning, you see how you feel, you see what the trainers say, and then you decide if he's going to go and work or if they're going to have to shut him down again. It's when that starts to happen on a habitual basis, when you start losing the guy for 2, 3, 4, 5 days at a time, or if he goes out there and works, and then all of a sudden 2 or 3 days later it flares up again, and then you got to shut him down again. Now that becomes a much bigger headache than what he's going through right now. I don't want to minimize it. Every rep is important. Anita's right. But at this point, I'm also not going to panic either. It also does give, I will say, the Giants did some reconfiguring the other day.
I was just going to say, so without Flowers, what did they do the other day when Flowers did not practice?
They split the left tackle reps between Justin Pugh, who slid out from left guard, and also Jeff Schwartz, who came over from the right side to play left tackle. Now, when they were out there doing that stuff, John Jerry was playing right tackle, where Schwartz is usually supposed to be. Then they also had Adam Geddes, a young veteran who they brought in here as a free agent last December, I think, on the practice squad, if I'm not mistaken. And he took some snaps with the left guard. He was at left guard for the session. So We'll see what happens today. Brandon Mosley also had a chance to take a few snaps over at right tackle, too. And I don't think he did left tackle. He did right tackle. So these are the kinds of things the Giants have to do to, you know, get through practice. And Coach said, you know, someone raised the issue. Geddes? Well, why is Geddes? Coach said, hey, yesterday he took a few snaps and he worked his butt off and he looked pretty good. So I figured, you know what? Let me throw him out there and give him a few more. That's what training camp's all about, Anita.
Right.
Guys proving themselves. Guys making the coach notice so that the coach can't get enough of him and he wants to give him another chance.
I get it. Hey, what about Brett Jones? Yeah. Yes, that's his position. But he comes over from Canada. There was a lot of talk about when he came over because he was one of the best, if not best, offensive linemen in Canada coming over. What have you seen from him? Anything you like from him? Is all he can play the center position? Can he play the guard position? What's your thoughts?
He's primarily working as a backup center right now and not much else. They're teaching him a little bit of the guard stuff, but we usually are seeing him at center. And what I saw from him the first few days is exactly what I saw on tape from the CFL. He is a Richie Cyber type. He's a real fire plug. He works hard. He's a bulldog. Good strength for his size. He's a short, squat kind of guy. And he just gets after it. And what I like about him, too, and again, they're not in full pads until today, so I'm really anxious to see him today. But what I like about it, he seems to really have his head on straight. Because you know as well as I do, when you're the center, you're making all the line calls. You're making all the adjustments. You got to figure out, are you double teaming? Are you blocking a gap? Are you blocking a man? Are you passing a guy off to the guard? There's a lot that's got to go on in his head.
You're the quarterback of the offensive line at center.
And it looks to me, unless he's fooling me now, it looks to me like he's doing a pretty good job of doing that.
201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in on the show. Also, hashtag Giants Chat for questions and comments. This is from Nikki C. Says, no other info on Jake Long. He must really not be ready.
Jake Long is still an unsigned free agent. He had visits with Atlanta, the Giants, and Denver about a week or so ago. And as far as I'm concerned, he will still be in play as long as he doesn't sign anywhere. So don't close the book on him. He's had two consecutive years of ACL surgeries. The last one was last October. He has rehabbed as best as he could to this point, and clearly he's not quite where he needs to be. So I wouldn't close the door.
Let's head out to our phone lines. Let's kick it off with Dan calling in from Pennsylvania. He actually has a comment or a question about the offensive line. Dan, welcome.
Yeah, hi, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Great. Listen, I wanted to mention, Paul, as usual, you're doing a great job. Yesterday I watched you on the training camp live show. Look forward to watching that, and I'm just loving training camp. I was there on Saturday. Wish I could have went there today. I had the free time, but just love the atmosphere. Being around all those Giants fans is great. And I just wanted to touch on, you guys mentioned that Flowers, you were very vague on it. They said that he didn't practice because of precautionary reasons, and I was just wondering, I'm hoping to God that there's nothing wrong with that young man.
Well, it's a hip flexor, and again, the other day, they didn't practice yesterday, the day before, he got up in the morning, and he felt the tweak. And so they just decided, you know what, let's just shut it down. That's 2 days in a row he felt something in there. He did practice the prior day, and they just felt that it was a good idea to let him rest. And that's where they stand
Absolutely.
Right now.
Yeah, because I did see him on Saturday. I saw him out there on the field, so it was good to see him, and I was just getting a little nervous. So, but that's good to know, just resting them and hopefully everything will be good because that's the main thing. We got some great talent on this team, but, of course, we just got to stay healthy.
I hear you. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you for the phone call.
All right.
You've had a lot of knees and different kinds of things over the years. Have you ever had a hip flexor?
I have.
Okay. What'd it feel like?
It feels like arthritis right in your hip right here.
Is it a pinch more?
It's a pinch.
It's a pinch.
It's an irritation.
Okay.
It's an irritation. It's like, you know, have you ever walked by something, maybe a bedpost or something like that, and you hit the side of your hip, and then it's sore for a few
Absolutely.
Weeks, like a few days or maybe a week or two. You know, it's just sore so that maybe like you're laying in bed and you're sleeping, and let's say you like roll over on one side, and then you wake up in the middle of the night like, I can't lay on that side.
We've all had that happen.
Exactly. So that's what it is. Hey, listen, I do want to talk about what John Beeson. John Beeson made himself available to the media today as well. And I thought it was really interesting. You mentioned it to me because you said that Weston Richburg said the same thing. Now, I value it more with Beeson because Beeson's a veteran, and he's right. been in the league when there were two-a-days.
Yes.
But I thought it was interesting. He said the two-a-days actually, don't necessarily help. Or I should say the new CBA doesn't – it hurts the preparation for a lot of these guys getting ready for the season. That's why you see such sloppy football being played during preseason – and the preseason games. He said the two-a-days helped more so. And then Weston Richburg said the same thing, but Richburg wasn't in the league when there were two-a-days. So I understand what he's saying, that he feels that maybe he's just not 100% ready when the season starts or throughout preseason, the preseason games. I just value it more with what Beeson says. But, listen, this is what the players wanted. This is what the players agreed to not have two-a-days. So I find it interesting, Beeson saying, the two-a-days help more than anything else.
Well, it's funny because, as you say, Richburg being only a second-year player, my question to him was, do you wish you had more hitting? Do you wish you had more practices like the old two-a-days way back when, before you got here? And, his thing was, he's a lineman. He wants to hit. I mean, and I'll be honest with you. The first couple of years of the CBA, most guys, outside of Justin Tuck, most guys were saying that it was okay and it wasn't that big a deal. Tuck was always very vocal about he thought that you needed to toughen your skin during those training camp weeks before the season started. Justin was very animate about that. And I guess he's in the minority. But we had the old guy in Beeson and the young guy in Richburg both agreeing that more hitting would be beneficial. And that was just kind of refreshing to hear because, I'm old school, so...
And another thing, I think I've told you this since I've been here, and I've covered a number of NFL camps, and, there's not a lot of hitting that goes on here, even during the one day that they're live and they're in pads.
Yeah.
I think I shared the story with you. I'm on the sideline. This is when Willis McGahee was the running back for the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. It's the first year that they went out and they drafted Ray Rice. Ray Rice was, a rookie, and so Willis McGahee was getting a number of the first reps. And Bart Scott was the middle linebacker.
Yep.
And he was in playing middle linebacker for Ray during the series. And he tackled Willis McGahee. Willis McGahee's tooth, this was during two-a-days, Willis McGahee's tooth flew, I've told you the story. His flew out.
Yes, I do
and
remember.
Landed on my sneaker.
I do remember that.
It was one of the most disgusting things
yes.
ever. And I'm like, somebody take this tooth. Sure enough, they sent Chad Steele, who oversees all PR for them. He came over with a napkin. He pulled the tooth off of my shoe. That's my whole point is that's the type of hitting that really uber epic physicality that takes place in another number of other clubs, and I get it. Doesn't make one right or one wrong. It's just, when you play with that type of physicality at a camp, you're risking injury. You're risking not only players losing teeth, but, it could be far worse.
Well, Beeson admitted, Anita, when asked about next week, remember, people, that on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, the Giants are going to have a scrimmage with the Bengals in Cincinnati.
Right.
Before Friday's preseason game. And he admitted that's probably going to get pretty chippy because he says, in his mind, the Bengals are a tough, physical, run-first offense. And he says they're going to get after it. And I'm telling you now, it's going to be pretty chippy. There's going to be some stuff going on out there. And you know what? Again, there's a fine line. How much do you need to really prepare? And then how much do you worry about guys getting dinged up and hurt? I mean, the other day when DeMontre Moore and Justin Pugh got into a little bit of a scrape, Coach Coughlin was not happy. He's like, I see guys pushing and shoving and throwing arms and fists out. I saw a guy break his hand once in that situation, and I don't need anybody getting hurt. So that's the kind of line you have to walk.
201-939-4513, the phone number to get in on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and, of course, you. Let's head out to line three. Jeff in New Hampshire. Welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Great.
Good. Didn't have anything as specific today, just kind of in general. I don't think I've been this excited for a season in quite a while, and there's a couple of reasons with the Giants I'm extra excited, but non-Giants related. I'm not getting to go to a Giants game this year, which I'm a little disappointed about.
Why is that?
I am Well, I'm going to Green Bay instead. My fiance is a Packers fan, and we're going to a game in Green Bay at Lambeau Field. I'm pretty excited about that.
Well,
one of the things I love most about the Giants is their history and tradition. And if it's not the Giants, the Packers have a pretty nice history and tradition, too.
I was just going to say, Lambeau Field is a place that every NFL fan has to get to at some time or another to do a game, because that place is truly like the Hall of Fame of NFL stadiums. It's just awesome.
And the NFL doesn't have a lot of that. Like in baseball, you have Wrigley Field and Fenway, these stadiums that have been around forever. Football, most of these stadiums are new. So, I mean, other than Lambeau Field, there really isn't a place like that.
I understand.
For NFL, so we're going to the Seattle game too. It's a night game, so I'll be watching the Giants game from a sports bar somewhere in Green Bay. But pretty excited about. I was hoping the Giants would play the Packers this year, but I didn't get that lucky. So maybe next year I'll get the Giants game.
Or maybe in the playoffs. You never know.
The playoffs would be all right. I think I could deal with that. I don't know if I could put up with the 17 below game or that though. That's why we're going in September. But I think two of the things I'm most excited about with the Giants that I was nervous about Victor Cruz coming back, and, you know, without getting too carried away, just the fact that, what was his injury, 9 months ago?
October,
so about 9 months. The way he's running and moving and everything 9 months later, that's extraordinary, I think. I mean, I don't know what you got. I didn't expect him to be looking this good this early.
Absolutely. And Jeff, again, this is something we've been talking about, and thank you for the phone call. This is something that we've been talking about really all preseason, and that is, there's no history here. There's no sample size in regard to really top-notch wide receivers in the NFL tearing their tendon and coming back. Yes, we have a sample size of guys who tear their ACL or their MCL, like Adrian Peterson, who is able to return and perform to a level that's just like superhuman. But, you know, we really didn't know what to expect. So, and what's sad is we don't know, is this just Victor Cruz who can heal quickly and is doing all the right things and getting ready for the season? Or is this just an injury that, you know what, maybe it doesn't take as much time to heal as an ACL or an MCL?
Well, I went
or cartilage or whatever.
I did it yesterday, and it's out of the bag now. I'm calling him the Tommy John of the NFL.
Okay.
It's now the Victor Cruz surgery. From here forth, anytime somebody has a tendon tear in their legs and they wind up having surgery and come back, it is now the Victor Cruz surgery, and I can't take it back.
I'm sure you cannot. 201-939-4513, the phone number you want to get in. It is Big Blue Kickoff Live. We just spoke to a number of the players and the coaches. Have a quick break here. Practice starts around 1:30. 2:20 is when it really starts getting good. But unfortunately, again, just a reminder, Giants fans cannot attend practice today because of the One Direction concert that's taking place at MetLife Stadium. But you can come out tomorrow for practice. Paul's pretty stoked about this practice because it's the first practice that these guys are going to be in pads, full pads. So that's going to be really exciting today. Let's go to line one. Philip.
Yes, hello, you guys.
Welcome.
Hi. I have a question about the offensive line. Like, that guy from the Canadian Football League, Brett Jones, well, you think he guys will start, like, any games this season?
I don't see him as a starter unless they wind up getting somebody injured. At the moment, they brought him in here figuring he would be a solid reserve and hopefully, you know, with some coaching and some extra upside to him, at some point he could maybe be part of the rotation. But at the moment, they're looking at him as a backup center to Weston Richburg, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm very confident he's going to be on the 53.
One more question about the offensive line. Marshall Newhouse, he's going to be the starter for this season, right?
Well, he's starting at right tackle today. That doesn't mean he's going to start week one at right tackle against the Cowboys.
And, like, if he'll be competing, who else would he be competing the left tackle for?
He's at right tackle. Left tackle's Flowers.
Oh.
You're looking at potentially sliding a guy out like Jeff Schwartz. You're looking at Brandon Mosley is another fellow who's taken some tackle reps during the course of practice. Those are the guys that would be the candidates at the moment. Or, as we've said 100 times, there could always be a mystery candidate who at some point in time before the season or maybe even after week one winds up coming into the locker room.
Oh, nice. Well, thank you, guys. Thank you for answering my question.
Okay, thanks.
This is a question on Twitter. Again, hashtag Giants chat. This is from Robert. I really think Andre Williams could emerge as the number one running back this season. I've been saying it for weeks now. Thoughts? Question mark.
You know, I'm going to go back to what we have talked about for months, and that would be this is a three running back rotation. I do think that certain guys have certain skill sets. In some ways, they're interchangeable. In other ways, they're not. I think they're all going to see a healthy amount of touches. But for me, and I know Anita feels the same, I'll let her speak on it too, the signing of the scat back from New England, Vereen, is going to change the dynamic of that backfield like we haven't seen in a while, because he is such a versatile threat, not only catching passes, but he can run the ball too. And he gives defenses a lot of problems because of the different skill sets that he puts forth on the field. I still believe that Williams may get the most touchdowns on this team. I know you think otherwise, but I still think that he may wind up scoring the most touchdowns. That's what he did at Boston College, and he did it so very well. I think they'll continue to try to feed him when they get close to the goal line.
I think that. I don't know. I'm really not looking at this backfield, Paul, as, you know, a one set starter, and there's few each and every year in the NFL. I mean, think about it. Maybe seven teams that are going into the season with that bell cow. You know what I mean? Like Adrian Peterson, Eddie Lacy, Jamal Charles,
DeMarco Murray.
No, I don't think. You think DeMarco Murray? I don't think so. He can't even stay on the. He's not even. Do you hear the latest out of Philadelphia?
What happened now?
He's not even conditioned enough to keep up with Chip Kelly's offense.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, so he's not even running with the first team. He can't. He physically cannot keep up with the pace of Chip Kelly's offense. And even if he could, they have Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles back there. I'm talking about a bell cow. I'm talking about a running back who's going to get like the ball like anywhere between 25 to 35 times a game. Like that just doesn't happen in the NFL anymore.
No, it's a different game.
It's a much different game.
And they're throwing the ball a lot more too.
So I'm not looking at that with this backfield. I'm not saying like Rashad Jennings is the starting running back. I think it's going to be situational.
Oh, and that's what we've been talking about for months. But I do think that Williams will wind up with the most touchdowns of all the running backs, because I still believe that his nose for the end zone and the way he pounds it in there, he finds ways to even take that 1 inch. And his yards per carry may not be as high as the other guys. I get that. But when you get down there for 6 points, Andre Williams is the guy who finds a way to get it done. And don't forget, too, part of that thing is, you know, he's more stocky. He's more like a fire hydrant. He can get down low in there, and that always helps you when you're in a short yardage situation.
Right. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Steve calling in from Staten Island. Steve.
Yes, Anita. How are you, Paul? What's going on? How are you, brother?
Hi.
I love the energy. Bring it, Steve.
Oh, listen. We're going to end this show on a high note, and I'm going to tell you right now, let's go. I dusted off the Bavaro and Manning jerseys and my Taylor jersey. I'm ready for this season. I'm pumped up for preseason. I got the bagels already set up for that. Let's go. Let's play some smash mouth football. Last year was last year. And listen, I got to tell you, because I want to hear your answer, and I don't want to hang up, I got 2 points. On the offensive side of the ball, there's no reason why this team can't put up 28 points or more. Shane Vereen, I told you in the beginning, you use him right, there's your Dave Meggett. There's no way you're going to tell me this team's not going to put up points. I think they're going to light the league up with points. Defense, you know what? Some people got to learn the hard way. JPP, unfortunately, you learn the hard way. So I think this defense should have the next man up persona, with or without him. They're going to buy into Spags' program, and I really think that this team is going to really – I'm telling you, I'm saying right now, Giants and Colts in the Super Bowl. I'm calling it today. Mark this date down on your calendar. Thank you for taking my calls. Paul, you're the best. I love you. Thank you, bro.
Thank you so much. I'm getting tired just listening to him.
I don't think I've ever met anyone, a Giants fan, that has more energy than you. But that was pretty intense.
Steve, you want to play special teams? They got room for you.
Interesting, though, he did say the Giants and the Colts. I think I've been saying this for months now. I think the Colts do represent. I think it's going to be I think the Colts are going to finally beat the Patriots in the AFC, whether it's whatever round of the playoffs they would face them. And I think the Colts make it to the Super Bowl this year. I really do believe that.
Yeah, I'm on board with the Colts, too. I also think that the Cardinals and the Vikings, to me, should be getting a lot more play in the NFC than they are. You know, I think Carson Palmer is going to come back and have a really good year.
Yep.
I think Peterson's going to go nuts in Minnesota. Bridgewater's a good young quarterback. They finally got him, you know, a better line and some weapons. So it's going to be real fun because it's going to be a little more wide open, I think, than it has been the last couple of seasons.
Really? You don't think Green Bay is just head and shoulders above everybody else?
I'm not sure. Lacy's important for me there, and his injury history concerns me. When Green Bay's a championship Super Bowl contender, Lacy is pounding the rock. That's what they did at the end of the season last year.
Well, because he got a concussion. The first game out, they played Seattle, and he suffered a concussion in that game, and he wasn't right for the first 4 weeks.
Combine that
with his, my fantasy team.
I understand, but combine that with his college injury history, and now you understand why I'm just a tad skeptical.
Yeah, but they said last year was more so the concussion he suffered in week one. And then I want to say, and then after that, there was like, it wasn't just Seattle. It was like the slew of defenses that they had to play. And I'm sorry, I don't have the schedule in front of me, but the slew of defenses that they had to play right off the bat was like one after another. It was just really tough.
Yeah.
So who in the NFC then do you think is?
Well, I like Arizona. I think Minnesota would be a dark horse, although some people don't.
To make it to the Super Bowl, I could see Minnesota like causing some ruckus.
I think
giving people some fits.
They could be a good playoff team.
Right. Super Bowl though.
How far? I would say Arizona's got a better chance of doing the Super Bowl than Minnesota.
So you think Colts Arizona?
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, but I'm not going on the record yet. It's, you know, come on, 53's got to get down on paper first. But those are kind of the teams I'm looking at.
This is from E. He asked you, have you guys seen an improvement of Williams' gap vision? I was not impressed last year. Has to fix that to be effective. And as I said earlier, he got that LASIKs. He had got that surgery. And he came through in flying colors. He felt that was maybe a reason why he was struggling. But again, I mean, you're really not going to see until we see him in preseason games, right?
Yeah,
you're really not going to.
No, I'm not going to gauge his progress until I see him in those preseason games. But what I will say is, the Andre Williams you saw in September was not nearly the player that you saw in December. The improvement within the season in him was dramatic. And so that gives me a lot of optimism to think that he will continue his improvement.
201-939-4513. If you want to get in, 201-939-4513. Another thing that John Beeson had said to the media, he talked about Spags and how his schemes are complex. And I guess he also said that the theme for the defense this season is footwork.
Well, you know,
I mean, how complex is his scheme compared to Perry Fuel's? Is it that much more difficult?
Well, here's the biggest difference, okay? When Beeson's on the field, okay, he's got to call the stuff for the front seven out. He makes the call back to Collins. We're assuming Collins will be one of the starting safeties, of course. Then he makes the secondary calls to the corners. Now, what adjustments are made post-original call? Collins has got to make them in the back, okay? Beeson no longer worries about that once those calls are made. The only thing he's worried about are the guys in front of him or the guys alongside him. Collins is doing the rest of them. Now, in some defenses, okay, it all relies on one guy. But they're not doing that here. They break it up into two levels. So once Beeson is done with those calls, he's not thinking about the guys in the back anymore. Collins has to worry about getting those guys squared away. So in that regard, it is complicated. Because those two guys need to know what they're doing and to be on the same page. And that's why when Spag says the safeties are the most important guys on my defense, mm-hmm. Well, that's why. Because they have their own responsibility in that defensive secondary aside from what the guys up front are doing. It's almost like a two-pronged defense. That's what can make it very complicated for some guys. But if you all know what each other's supposed to do, then you can properly fit it and mesh it together. This all goes back to having a high football acumen and why Spagnuolo loves guys on the field who have cerebral, you know, abilities. It is so, so, so important. And Coach Merritt said the other day when he was talking about the safeties, don't tell me about the guy who's the most athletic, Anita. Tell me about the guy who knows the system, who can be trusted, and who works in conjunction with his teammates on the field. That's exactly what Spags is preaching, and it's working its way right down to everybody else here. So did I do a good job explaining that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
201-939-4513. You want to get on board. Now's the time to do it. Anita Marks, Paul DeTino, and, of course, you. Show for the fans. Also, hashtag Giants Chat. This is from Dwayne. Says, most of the guys played their best ball when the season was over. Can't have that anymore. Got to dictate the action.
Did you look at the schedule? Did you? Take a look. Giants have a very difficult first half of the schedule, and then potentially it gets a little bit easier, which means they've got to make some hay in September or October. They've got to set themselves up into position where they can then make a run at the postseason. If they get off to a slow start this year, Anita, look at those games. Right off the bat, Dallas, Atlanta, Washington, Buffalo, San Francisco, Philly. You know, they can't afford to be putzing around during September and October. They're going to be in trouble.
So in looking at the schedule, the games that I'm concerned with.
Okay.
Okay. At Dallas.
Sure.
At Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
At Philadelphia.
Well, there's three right out of the first five, right?
Right, right. I feel very confident with their home games, not only that they're home, but also the opponents that they're gonna be facing, Atlanta, Washington, San Francisco. And then they're home against Dallas. I think that's going to be an intriguing game. I'm kind of on the fence with that one. At New Orleans, I really can't gauge that.
Right.
Because I just don't know. I mean, is this going to be the New Orleans of old, or is this going to be the New Orleans of 2014?
Right.
You know, we just don't know. I do believe they win at Tampa, and then New England I'm on the fence with. So by the time they get to the bye week, what record are we looking at here? We're looking at... let's say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least 5.
Well, you'd like to believe 6 wins. You'd like to get 6. You'd like to. But, you know.
So you're saying by the bye week, you'd like for them to be 6-4.
That would be wonderful.
You'd be happy with 6-4. Because then after the bye, we're looking at Washington, the Jets. I mean, you know, chances are they might have Sheldon Richardson back. And also, I'm hearing that Leonard Williams kid is just unbelievable.
He's really good.
Yeah, I'm hearing that he's just...
The steal of the draft.
Yeah, I'm hearing that he's tearing it up a few miles north of here. So that's a concern. Miami with Sue Wake, come December 14th, you know, they might be in a rhythm. See, Paul, I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't feel that after the bye, this schedule gets that much easier. They still have Philadelphia. They have to go at to Minnesota on December 27th. You just talked about Adrian Peterson and Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, but the reason I say that is because if you go to the first part of the schedule, you're looking at the NFC teams. It's all cluttered with more NFC teams than not. And then you've got the division games, Dallas, Washington, Philly, Dallas. So in the first 6 weeks of the season, you've got 4 division games. And I'm always one who believes that the division games, especially when they're clustered together, take a lot more out of you. I'm not going to necessarily say that the scores are going to be any wider or any closer, but what I'm saying is those games, division games, when they pack them up, and I've seen this happen to the Giants many a times, they become the games that just suck the life out of you. They take your energy, they take your emotion, they take everything about you, and they just rip it right out of you because they're division games. And that's why I think for the Giants to have 4 of them early, that makes life a little bit difficult for them up top.
201-939-4513. How do you feel about this schedule? Paul thinks that past the bye, it gets a little bit easier for them. I'm not so sure. The only game that I think could be possibly easier is the Washington game. Other than that, the remainder of the opponents past the bye concern me, Paul. I have to be honest with you. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Jason in New Jersey. Jason, welcome.
Hello? Guess not.
Unfortunately, we lost Jason. Jason, if you can, feel free to please call back if you can. Also, let's talk about some of the other comments that were made earlier today as coaches and players were made available to the media. You got to like what Sully said. Mike Sullivan, quarterback coach, said that, and keep in mind, he's here now. He spent some time in Tampa, but he was here prior. He knows Eli Manning extremely well. And he came out and he said, Eli Manning, he's throwing the best ball. He has the strongest arm. He's never seen Eli Manning's arm so strong.
It's true. I mean, look, I was here even before Sully was here. And I remember when Eli came in as a rookie. In fact, boy, did I catch some grief. When I saw Eli's first practice at his rookie minicamp, he was all over the place. The Giants were out on the grass field next to the old Giants stadium out here in the Meadowlands, and the wind was kicking up, and Eli just had so many difficulties throwing the ball. It was ugly. A lot of wounded ducks. Remember Brian Sipe of the Browns some years ago? He used to throw a lot of wounded ducks, shot puts almost. And Eli was all over the place. And, you know, I remember getting on the radio that day and saying, well, you know, this guy may turn out to be great, but right now that's about as bad as I've seen a quarterback throw the ball here. And that all turned around in a hurry, didn't it? Because right now, at going on 34 years old, Eli Manning, with his off-season training, going to a pitching guru to figure out how he could improve his arm strength.
Is this the same pitching guru that Tebow went to, by the way?
I do not know, because Eli is being very secretive about it.
Okay.
He's not talking much about it. But he did admit that he's doing different exercises with his arm now. Different warm-ups, different cool-downs, a little bit of a different throwing motion, and it was all designed to not only maybe improve his arm strength a little bit, but to enhance the durability and the longevity of his arm, because they all tell you that there are only so many bullets in that wing.
Right, and he did come out earlier this week on WFAN and told Boomer that he feels that he could play another 5 years. He's 35 now. He says he feels like he could play till he's 40.
I mean, you know, why not? I mean, Brett Favre did it. Why couldn't Eli?
So really great news from Sullivan. And also he said that Eli's really seems rejuvenated in regard to not only, like, you know, he's got to feel a lot better about coming in the second year under this defense, this offense with Ben McAdoo and the new talent around him. I don't know. You know, I'm sure he's got some concerns with the offensive line like all of us do, but just the talent that he's working with, Cruz back, Shane Vereen back there, commitment to the rushing attack in a system for the second year on top of this arm strength. I think this really could be a phenomenal year for Eli. This could arguably be one of his best statistical years,
you know,
I think.
Yeah, I think the only way it's not is if they do rely a little bit more on the power running game and get more balance going, so his totals may suffer a little bit. But I think in terms of efficiency, I agree with Anita on this. I wouldn't be surprised if this turns out to be his best season. Going in, you have to be incredibly excited about the backs and about the receivers. We know Donnell caught 60-something balls last year. It all goes, again, back to the offensive line. But I do want to mention one thing to you, because somebody asked me the other day, do you think you've ever seen a better Giants receiving core? Now, you go back to 2008, and there was Plexico, there was Amani Toomer, there was Dominic Hickson, there was Steve Smith, although he was on the young side in those days. That was probably the best receiving core that I had ever seen with the Giants. This one certainly has the potential, if they stay healthy, to be better. And the best, deepest wide receiving core that the Giants may have ever had. That's really possible. And you and I, have we had a chance to chat since we watched James Jones practice?
See, I haven't seen James Jones since he's been here.
He did something the other day.
Has he been made available to the media yet?
Yes.
He has.
His second day of practice, Anita, I know you weren't here that day, he ran a 50-yard go route down the left sideline, one-on-one with Prince. And Collins...
Oh, you told me this, yeah.
Yeah, Collins had to come over and help out. And Jones not only put the burners on, and Prince stayed with him now, but he out-jumped Prince and wrestled the ball away from him for the completion right down the sideline in the corner by the goal line. And it was like, wow. And that's what they're talking about when they say he knows what to do. Because when the ball's in the air, Jones is one of those guys who says, it's my ball. You can't have it. It's mine. And he attacked the ball. You don't find enough of guys doing that these days, to be honest. They want the ball to be right there, you know, right in the breadbasket. They don't want to necessarily have to put forth effort to go get it. He went and got it. And when I saw that and I said, hey, that far downfield against Prince, that tells me James Jones has plenty to give this team.
And keep in mind, Jerry Reese, when he met with the media, he said James Jones has come in here and he's being given an opportunity to battle for the third, fourth, and fifth wide receiving spot.
Yeah.
So that really put Reuben Randall on notice, which, by the way, your thoughts on him so far throughout camp?
Reuben looks pretty good. But, again, what's the deal with him? Consistency. Can't tell consistency now.
Right.
But he looks like he's going to be real good.
This is from Nicholas. Hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. With many new faces on defense, all learning a new system, it would not surprise me for the defense to struggle early on. Agree or disagree with that, Paul?
Well, I will say this. Spags tells me, and I believe him, I mean, the proof's going to be in the pudding, of course, once they start playing games, but Spags tells me he believes that this team is much further along learning his defensive playbook than the team was in 2007 when he first came in here as the defensive coordinator the first time around. I can't tell you specifically why we didn't delve into that because, again, the proof will be in the pudding when they actually get out there in game action, but he tells me he thinks they're much further ahead. That's good news because, Anita, I know you weren't around in 2007 here, but those first two games, the Giants gave up over 400 yards apiece in each of the games. They just absolutely looked dreadful, and folks were all over Spags. I mean, they wanted to run him out of town after just two games because the defense was shredded like Swiss cheese. And then it all came together in week three, and they were off and running. So, anyway.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Jeff in Rhode Island. Jeff, welcome.
Hey, good afternoon, Anita and Paul. How are you guys doing today?
All right.
Good. I have high hopes this year for Cooper Taylor and Odighizuwa. I haven't heard too much talked about in regards to Odighizuwa. I know it's only very early in training camp, but is there anything you could throw out there for us about him?
I'm very interested to see him work out there today. Because to this point, he hasn't done anything to really stand out.
I'm actually quite frightened to see him in pads because he just walks around and like, and he looks like he's in pads and he's not. I mean, just like I actually
it's
was
true.
It was funny. I was coming out of the little girls' room. He was coming out of the little boys' room, and I just was like, hi. Like he frightens you, and I was just like double O, and I like walked away because I felt like oh
he scared you.
His calves, dude, his calves are like this.
Yeah,
I mean it's just he's not from this planet.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the Fantastic Five.
Yeah.
You know, he walks right off of a superhero movie set.
Pretty much.
Here's what I will tell you, okay? What I will tell you is he seems very, very eager and very excited about being here. Appreciates, as you know, the Giants tradition. He's already talked about that a lot, about how he has studied guys like Strahan and Tuck and Umanura, and all of those guys mean a lot to him. So I know one thing. He's going to work his butt off to try to give them as much as he can here as a rookie. Where's that learning curve going to be? We still need to see him in games. I'll be watching him extremely closely during the preseason games because he could be the X factor if he provides them some quick production right away. I don't know if he's going to, but I'd love to see it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'd like to see that too because, frankly, I think much of our success this year as a football team is going to be predicated on how well the defense plays. And, you know, if we can elevate ourselves to somewhere around the middle of the pack somewhere, I think we'll have a successful season football-wise. And so I'll be calling in again to talk to you guys. So have a good day, okay?
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for watching. Thanks for tuning in, and thank you for participating in Big Blue Kickoff Live. Here's a tweet from George. I have to take in mind that the defense will surprise, just like Reese said. Apparently, I want to see if the defense is good or great.
You know, I think maybe it was you and me, or you, me and John. I can't remember now. My anticipation
these shows just run together.
They do sometimes. Mm-hmm. But here's what I broke down like a statistical thing in terms of where I think the Giants need to be offensively and defensively to be in the playoff mix. And what I'm anticipating, Anita, is that they're going to be somewhere in the middle of the defense in the NFL this year. I think they're going to be like a 15-16. They were in the high 20s last year. They were really, really down at the bottom. I think if everything goes right, Beeson's healthy, you know, Thomas does what he does, Collins works out okay, I could see them being a 15-16 type defense. I think we both agree they're easy top 10 offense, maybe top 5 offense. They could be that good, maybe. Well, if you're going to be that offensively, and what I'm thinking, middle of the pack defensively, you're a playoff team. And you're going to have a chance to do something. You don't have to be in this league anymore because of the way parity has infected the NFL. You don't have to be a top 5 defense now to make a playoff run. We've seen offense, and Jerry Reese said this the other day, offense is the flavor of the month now. You know, the NFL's been gravitating to more offense, more offense, more offense for years now. And what we have found is that teams just don't have, contrary to what Seattle proved, teams don't have to be the stoutest offensive defensive team on the planet to win.
I had a very lengthy conversation with DeMontre Moore today that I'm going to play on my radio show later on tonight. But just to give you little nuggets of what's to come, he said that this defense is, they don't care about the outside noise, all the doubters, the analysts, so-called analysts out there that are not expecting this defense to be any good. He said that he just doesn't care. Also, I asked him about the pressure that he's facing coming in, and I said, and listen, I'm putting that pressure on you, because I came very clean with him, and I said, there are two players that I want to see get better this year. One is Reuben Randall on offense, and the other is you on defense. I want to see you turn that corner. I need to see you be that DeMontre Moore player that the Giants drafted and the expectations when you came in. So I'm part of that media that's putting the pressure on you. How do you feel about that? And he said, I don't feel the pressure. I know that I look in the mirror every day, and I know that I'm coming in here to practice, and I'm practicing as hard as I can, and I'm giving this team, and I'm giving myself, I'm true to myself. And so he said, the pressure, I don't really pay attention to it, because I know I sleep well at night knowing that I'm doing everything and anything I can to be the best football player.
Well, he's my show-me player on defense also, and I will tell you this. If he doesn't show Tom Coughlin everything that he's got, because there's a world of potential there, Kerry Wynn is working his butt off to take those reps and those snaps from him.
Another thing that he did share that I find interesting, what was the one thing that when Antrel Roll was here that he complained about? The not enough guys with the energy on game day, right? Like he felt he had to, like, pump that energy.
The fight in the dog.
Right. The fight. He just felt that there was not a lot of fight in the dog with this team, specifically on defense, on game day, and he was very frustrated about it. And so it was interesting because DeMontre Moore said there's a lot of new faces, and he said, and this defense has a new attitude. And it very well could be because of Spags as well. But he said that he kind of alluded to that mentality, that energy that was lacking before, it's here now with these new faces, and he's very excited about this defense.
Well, I think something else that goes to what you're talking about in terms of the entire defensive unit, you told me that Jameel McClain wants them to be known as the
no-name defense.
Right?
Right.
They don't want to be JPP and crew. They want to be the no-name defense. They want to just blend and be Big Blue. And look, if that's the kind of mentality that's going to have them swarming to the ball and making plays, go for it.
Let's get to some more tweets here. Again, you can hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Any positive news on Eric Flowers and his hip flexor injury? Of course, we've been on air now for about 50 minutes. So, unfortunately, you missed when we opened up the show. We touched on it. Why don't you kind of communicate yet again what's
okay.
going on with Eric Flowers.
So 3 days ago, Flowers woke up with a hip flexor, practiced through it for one day, did some leg lifts and kind of worked it out, and then 2 days ago, got up again in the morning, had the little bit of a discomfort there, and they decided as a precaution to hold him out. Yesterday, the Giants were off and did not practice. This morning, again, he feels a little bit there, and they decided it's best to hold him out. Unless something changes, he told us he's not going to practice today, but that he feels it's minor, that it's day-to-day, and you know, he's continuing to work the books and try to do everything he can to at least stay ready.
So, you know, obviously just and again, there is not a huge concern here at the facility for this injury, which is a good thing. The only negative is the fact that he is a rookie. If he was a veteran, really not as big of a deal, but because he's a rookie, these reps are important. What's really going to be important as well, keep in mind, is when they go to Cincinnati. And now he's going up against, he's made that leap from college to the pros, and this is really all he knows. What an experience that's going to be for him to practice at another facility against another team, kind of get that his feet wet, that first taste before preseason game number one.
I think the only thing I would add to what Anita just said is that to this point, and unless you've talked to someone who would say otherwise, my understanding from what I've seen and those who I've talked to, he's done well. I mean, they're very pleased with his attitude, with his work habits, with what he's doing on the field. He seems to really understand that he's got some things technique-wise to improve on, and he's doing his best to try to get that stuff down. So he's a willing learner, and appears to be a good learner. So, you know, the Giants feel all systems are go, and the arrow is really up on Eric Flowers.
All right, this is from Enrice We Trust. Which O-line combo do you prefer to start week one? Right guard Schwartz, right tackle Newhouse, or right guard Jerry, right tackle Schwartz?
Based on the resumes,
that's a really good question, by the way.
Yeah, based on the resumes of the players that you're talking about, I would go Jerry right guard and Schwartz right tackle. But that's strictly me.
201-939-4513. Just about 5 minutes left on the show. You've got a question you want to get in, call right now. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and you. This is from Easy. Hashtag Giants chat. Okay. I've noticed there hasn't been much talk about our linebackers. I want to know how have our linebackers looked so far. By the way, Devon Kennard made himself available to the media today. He's walking around. He's smiling. He feels good. He's excited. He loves Spags defense. He's a happy camper, no pun intended.
No. I'll tell you what, he should be. Because he's the kind of guy who's going to benefit a lot from Spags, who is so innovative and always willing to do whatever it is that the players suggest, provided they prove to him they can be trusted. And that's a good thing. I think the Giants linebackers are going to be much better than people think. You know, they were really down on them, and I understand that. But, you know, Beeson, we don't know what the hell situation's going to be, so I'm going to leave him out of the equation for just 1 second. And what I'm going to tell you, Anita, is that Devon Kennard is a young, improving player who I think is going to be terrific once he really gets everything down. JT Thomas is a quick, athletic player who has a really good skill set. He could be on the field for all three downs. He's not the kind of guy you got to take off and you use as a specialist. He could be out there for all three downs. So both outside spots, at least in my mind, are improved from last year. Now, again, you got the Beeson thing in the middle. You just don't know how his foot's going to hold up or if his knee's going to hold up. You don't know any of that stuff. But I think the other two spots, they're better at, and the arrow's going up. And don't forget, again, we like this guy. And we're not saying it just because we like him, but we do. Jameel McClain is a really good guy to have in that linebacker room.
Yep.
He's smart.
And I told you that as soon as
the
news broke that he was coming over here from
I
Baltimore.
Remember the conversation very well. Her words were, you're going to love him. It's exactly what you said to me.
Yeah.
He's a leader. He's got heart. He's got desire.
Syracuse dude.
Understands the game. You know, willing to do whatever it takes to win. I'm glad he's here. And, you know, he right now is running as the number two middle linebacker like he did last year. So that if Beeson does have to come out, McClain at the moment would be the backup.
But how about Beeson? I mean, he said he's finally healthy, that this is the first camp in a long time that he's coming into camp, and he feels good. He's healthy, and he's able to practice whenever he wants. Of course, you know, they're taking it light on him just because of his age.
Yes.
But not because of a health issue, which is tremendous. This is from Enrice We Trust yet again.
Okay.
He's a twittering fool, which we love. when Tom Coughlin mentions Devon Kennard as the player to watch in camp, that says a lot to me. And I think both of us couldn't agree more. I mean, Tom Coughlin is not going to give praise to a player publicly unless really he's extremely impressed with. And so you're absolutely right.
Remember what I told you guys a couple of months ago when Spags got here about some of the things that he can do to mix things up? I'm going back, and I'm going to remind you this one more time, and I'll do it probably several times as we get close to opening day, how Banks and Taylor would flop sides back in the 80s a lot of times. You know, I think Spags is going to be doing that with his linebackers this year, and it's primarily because of their athleticism. Anita, we see that Kennard is strong and he can play the run well. He's physical. We also see that he's really got a nose for the ball on the blitz. He goes ahead real well, straight ahead. Well, Thomas has great footwork, and he's quick. I think he can do those kinds of things too. So it wouldn't surprise me if you see Kennard and Thomas flipping weak side to strong side on any given play and even mixing it up to where, okay, guess what? You're going to go weak side, but now you're going to go out and cover the back. Oh, no, you're going to go strong side, but you're going to blitz. I think Spags can do a lot of that with these guys because of their skill sets. He's the kind of coordinator who will make use of that. He's not going to put you in a square hole or a square peg and say, that's all you do. He's going to let these guys do multiple things.
This is a cool one. I haven't even thought about this. This is probably the tweet of the day because it's got me thinking now. This is from Ben. How much of an advantage do you think it is for the Giants that Spags drafted Bradford with the Rams and knows his strengths and weaknesses as a QB? The Giants gonna have to go up against him if he stays healthy twice this season.
I'd never thought of that.
Right? Great job, Ben. That's a tweet of the day.
Yeah, and you know Bradford, what, he's missed a season and a half. As we approach opening day this year. So who knows if he'll even be healthy enough to play against the Giants. Oh, man. That's an interesting call, though. You know, it's funny. Another guy who was drafted by Spags with the Rams is George Selvey, the defensive end who's here.
Right.
Former Cowboy also.
Who's fantastic, by the way.
Good guy.
Yeah.
Enjoyed talking to him today, too. And by the way, he also mentioned he was a South Florida alum with JPP.
With me.
And you.
And Jaquan Williams.
Yes. And did say he has talked to Jason.
Okay.
And that very confident that he's going to be back this year and that he's going to be okay and he's in a good mood and he's positive and so forth and so on. So just another little crumb there on the JPP story. But, yes, Selvey's a guy who Spags really liked coming out of school when he was in St. Louis and brought him in there. There is some thought that Selvey will have a better year than some people think because Spags knows him so well and he will unleash some of the things that maybe other teams did not see in him. Again, Dallas used him primarily as a run-stopping defensive end. That one season he did have, I think, 8 sacks, but they contained his responsibilities. The thought is also maybe Spags will open that up a little bit.
Last question for you on Twitter, and this is from Nikki C. Nat Burhe working out yet? Question
yes.
mark. I still feel he wins the other spot at the safety position next to Collins.
Don't sleep on Bennett Jackson. Do not sleep on him because the last couple of days of practice, he was running with the first team. Remember, Burhe had the calf thing during the spring, so he was kept out. So when they got out on the field here during training camp, he was running behind. And he's got to catch up. And everybody, to a man, has said, he's got to catch up. So can it be done? Sure it can. But Bennett Jackson, he's sinking his teeth in now. I see something in this kid. I don't think he's going to give it up easily.
It's going to be definitely a fun battle to watch if you are making your way out here to Giants training camp. Again, not today. Not today. It's not open to the public because of the One Direction concert that's taking place at MetLife Stadium, but fans could come out tomorrow on Thursday at 2:30 p.m., and what a great practice that will be to attend because today will be the first day the Giants are in pads, and they will be in pads yet again on Thursday. So keep that in mind. Also, for whatever you miss by not being able to attend Giants training camp, make sure you tune in to the MSG show, Giants Training Camp Live. I believe it's David Deal and Bob Papa tonight hosting, right?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. So make sure you tune in. Also, you can watch on Giants.com, the Giants mobile app, and a number of the interviews that we had today you can find on Giants.com as well. Now, you're back tomorrow for Big Blue Kickoff Live with Lance, right?
That is right.
Fantastic. So everybody, have a great afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. And Paul Dottino will be back with you tomorrow with Lance. And make sure you tune in to the MSG show at 6 p.m.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here we to go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Jackson on the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.